Well, good morning to each one of you. I'm not exactly sure of the words of Sheldon's prayer, but I believe it had to do with receiving something that each one of us needs this morning or something to that effect. And I'm gonna reverse that, and I'm gonna just share that what I share this morning is what Lynn needs. And I'm guessing if we're all going to be honest, we're all going to say, yeah, it's what we need too. I'm going to talk this morning a little bit about Jeremiah. I don't know if I have ever preached out of the book of Jeremiah. I may have, but I can't recall. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 25. I've titled the lesson this morning, Seeking the Lord. So the place where Jeremiah is here is he's a prophet. God has been using him to speak to the children of Israel. The children of Israel are no different than what we are. They have their ups and downs, but they have chosen at this point not to follow what God has given them. So now Jeremiah comes in and he is supposed to share with them what God has given him. And Jeremiah does not have a very positive message for them. In verse 11 of chapter 25, this is what God told Jeremiah to tell them. Unless you follow what I have, this whole land is going to be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So Jeremiah is telling them, unless you come back, you're going to serve another king in bondage for 70 years. Now, let's jump on over. If you've got your Bibles open, we're going to do a little bit of walking through parts of Jeremiah here this morning. We go to chapter 26, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, God talking to Jeremiah, and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. In other words, he's telling him, whatever I tell you to share, you better not back off. Share what I have given you. Speak to them. Maybe they will hearken and turn from their evil way. And I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. So he's saying, I'm going to back off if they obey. But if they don't, this is where it's at. Now let's go over to verse 8 of chapter 26. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. So Jeremiah speaks truth. And the people come and say, uh-uh, you're going to die. I don't like what you're saying. We don't want to hear what you're saying. You're going to die. Again, come down to verse 11. This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Now Jeremiah in verse 12. Jeremiah makes a plea to them. And he says here in verse 12, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy. It's not me. It's God that is sending me to prophesy. We say in verse 13, amend your ways. Obey the Lord, the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him. He's given them a chance. Turn. Follow God. And Jeremiah tells him, I don't care what you do with me. Verse 14, do what you want to with me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change the picture. But I'm going to speak what God says. For of a truth, verse 15, for of a truth, the Lord has sent me to speak unto you, sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Now we have the priests. In Or the princes, I'm sorry. Then said, verse 16, then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, no, wait a minute, this man isn't worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. So there's some that took it, some that believed. Now let's hop on over to chapter 27. Now we have Jeremiah coming. We know what show and tell is, don't we? We take something to school that we can show that something we want to explain, something to describe. Here Jeremiah comes, and God tells him in verse 2 of chapter 27, make thee bonds and yokes. If you want to understand what that is, he made a yoke and put it around his neck, and he took leather and he tied it down, leather straps. And he tells them, he gathers together a bunch of them, and he says, this is what God does. We're going to be under a yoke for 70 years. Go out and spread that to the different nations here. Let them know about this. So they did. Now we come over to verse 8 of chapter 27. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the name of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that was who God had said, that's who you're going to serve under, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish. So now God has made a decision. You have chosen not to follow. I'm going to take you to a place you will serve for 70 years. He's giving them the warning of what's happening. Then he comes down to verse 9. And there he says, therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Now we're going to jump over to chapter 28. We're going to see in chapter 28 exactly what was said. Let's begin in verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, and all the people, saying, now we have a prophet coming to Jeremiah, and he's saying, no, this is what's going to happen. He's saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. He's saying in 2 years, all these things are going to take place. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now we have a false prophet giving a message here saying this is what's going to happen. Then Hananiah, verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah and break it to prove that it's going to be over soon. Let's go to verse 13. God tells Jeremiah, go back to Hananiah and tell him this. You broke the yokes of wood that he had around his neck. But thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. In other words, this is what I said. You can do all you want to. But what I am sharing with you, what I have told you, is how it's going to be. Verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah. The Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. So Hananiah, let me finish that verse, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month, 2 months after him breaking the yokes, Hananiah was dead. 2 months. And he had prophesied that in 2 years there's going to be freedom. God will not be mocked. What God says is truth. We can stand on that. Or as some people would say, you can take it to the bank. Now, I want you to imagine the children of Israel. So now they're in bondage. They're in Babylon. They want to go home so bad. They want to go back to their land. Let's go to verse 4 of chapter 29. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives. He's speaking to them, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Now this is a letter. I look at this as a letter that he wrote to them. And this is what he said. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I'm thinking, if I was one of the children of Israel, I'd say, no way. It takes a long time to build a house. I will not accept that. You want us to build houses, to dwell in them, to plant gardens? You want us to live here. We want out. But again, we come back to the fact that God had given them a choice. You can turn, follow me, and I will set you free. Now he's saying, plan to live here. Build houses. Next verse says, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. If you think about it, 70 years is a long time. How many of them are going to die in that time? It makes it look like just maybe their people are going to die out. He said, no, keep living. There is something more for you. Keep living. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. So here they're finding out. This is where we live. There are still false prophets among you. Be careful. And then we come to the verses that I want to dig into for just a short while this morning. Verse 10 through 14. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now, I realize some of us feel that this is a prophecy that may not have happened, that's coming to the end time. Some of us feel like this is past. We're not here to discuss that this morning. But we're here to see what he tells them, and to learn from this. I think there's some really, really good things in here for us to grab onto as a people here this morning. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Go back to verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God thinks about us. Now, we can turn this and we can make this about us this morning. Absolutely not. This is about God. This is about the God that we are serving. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. As I pondered this and as I thought about this, I'm like, really? God has such a huge amount of people to be thinking about, to be looking at. And he thinks about me? I have an awesome God that he actually cares about each one of us individually. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil.
He wants us to have a good end.
I don't know how many of you follow Luis Perez's Facebook page. Often he shares some really, really good things. That the end of most of them, he puts down, finish well. Finish well. I keep seeing that. I'm like, I want to finish well. I want to hear well done. I want to finish well. God knows our thoughts. Here's a couple of verses about God knowing our thoughts. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. So that's me thinking about him. And also I think his thoughts about me. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I'm still with thee. I think we could take that both ways. We think a lot about God, maybe not as much as we should, but I think God thinks about us a lot. He cares about us so much. That's the God we serve. A God that knows us inside out. Let's go to verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Why should God hear me? Why should he listen? As much as I have gone against him, why should he care? Because he has created us to serve him. We were not just perchance put in this earth. He created us to care. He created us because he loves us. We had somebody here sharing about abortion and all that goes with that the other Sunday. And that breaks our hearts when we think about that. God created every being for a purpose. Sorry, I got sidetracked there a little bit. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God hears us. He wants to answer us. I believe he delights in hearing his children. And I believe he delights in coming back and talking to his children. But how many times am I not giving him a listening ear? I run here or there and I'm all over the place. Maybe I need to just stop. Spend time with the Father. Listen. He's got so much he wants to tell us. He wants to relate to us. Call upon me. Go, pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. It's not a matter of he might, but he will. Then we come to verse 13. I'm sorry, I missed a verse I'd like to share with connected with verse 12. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. That to me is a comfort. If I have a desire and I fear him, he will fill that desire. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The title was Seeking the Lord. You shall seek me and find me. He doesn't make it impossible to find him. Sometimes when I think about the whole picture of salvation, it seems pretty simple if you really think about it. You shall seek me and find me. That is such a beautiful promise. I will make a way for you to know me. But he also says this, when you shall search for me with all your heart. That tells me that I'm going to put everything in it that I got. All your heart. There's no haphazardness here. There's no, I'm going to do it halfway. All your heart. In my marriage, I cannot love my wife halfway. She realizes that. She's not satisfied with that. She wants me to love her with everything I got. In our relationship with Christ, He's not satisfied with halfway. He wants it all. He deserves it all. Can I say it that way? He deserves it all. Not just a little bit of it. Not just Sunday morning right here sitting here. But every hour, every day, He deserves everything. We start looking at how much He paid for us in redeeming us. He deserves everything. That word search jumped at me. When you shall search for me with all your heart. And I got a picture of having my nose down here. I'm digging in the Word of God. And I'm seeking Him. I'm searching. I want to know Him. Search for me with all your heart. Verse 14. I'm going to back up again. I missed a couple of verses on verse 13. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." Looks like action there. Something they wanted to accomplish, but He says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Seeking Him with all of our heart. Then verse 14 says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." We're just going to stop with that. "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." He's not hiding from us. He's available. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." And we're going to talk about two ifs and two He wills here. Listen to these. If thou seek Him, that's the first if. Then the first He will is, He will be found of thee. The second is if thou, but if thou forsake Him, then He says He will cast thee off forever. He is still to be found today. Every one of us in here this morning still has opportunity. I guess I just challenge us. Let's find Him. Let's seek Him. I'm going to leave you with a recipe for this week. I'd like to read Psalm 105, verse 1 through 4. I'd like you to turn there. Psalm 105, we're going to read verse 1 through 4. Beginning in verse 1. He says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." I've tagged all of these verses with either a word or a phrase. Four things this morning in this recipe. The first one, verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord." He talks there about making His deeds known. The first one is share His love. Share His love this week. Find somebody to talk to. There's people that are looking, that are just waiting. Share his love with somebody. The second one, he talks about singing psalms, talking of his wondrous works. I've tagged that one as worship. Take time this week to worship. Can I use the word stop? Just stop what we're doing and let's worship him. We forget, don't we? The third one is glory in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I've tagged that one as live joyfully. You know, people are looking at us wherever we go. I'm not sure if I should share this or not, but I'm going to. I met a lady this week at a store. I would say she was probably from one of our churches. This sounds like I'm pointing fingers. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. But if I would have looked at her in her walking, I would have wondered what's missing. She had almost an angry look on her face as she whizzed past us. Now that sounds like I'm pointing fingers. I'm sorry. I took that to heart for myself. What are people seeing when they see me? Am I somebody that they like to stop and talk to? Or do I have a nasty, angry look on our face, on my face, and I ignore those around me? Live joyfully. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And if you're going to ask me who the lady was, I can tell you honestly, I have no clue. So might as well not even ask me because I won't know. And I don't want to point fingers, please. I'm not going there. But it just spoke to me. What do people look at me and think when they see me? Live like Jesus is in our hearts. Express it through our face. And the fourth one is seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. I tag that one as seek him fervently. Seek him fervently. I'm going to leave a challenge. You talked this morning, Irvin, about reading your devotional. I'm going to leave a challenge with us this morning. Let's see if we can take a half an hour a day this week to do nothing, just sit before the Lord and listen. I think we're going to be surprised what it does to us. Stop and listen. Seek his face. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for the reminder that you give us that you are a God who loves, you hear, you're an awesome God. Father, forgive us for the times where we don't seek, where instead we're turned to ourselves and not to you. Father, work in my heart first. I pray that we would be a people, Lord, that would walk with joy, and that your peace in our lives would be shared with those around us. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to turn the time back to Chad.